All right, everybody, part three of the series from Ted and I's first elk hunt with the guys from Born and Raised. In this one, we had just set up camp and we were cooking dinner before we went to bed, so there's kind of some funny candid audio that I just decided to leave in there where we're talking about like our plans for food and if we can string out an extra day if we need to. Just thought that was kind of funny, so I left it in there. And you're gonna hear some funny noises too. It's pretty much just us cooking dinner. We had to get that done before we were able to go to sleep, so we just kind of multitasked and recorded a podcast and ate at the same time. But we're gonna be talking about our encounters and just continuing to talk about our strategy and that evolution of what we feel like elk hunting is, what it means to us, and how it kind of relates to different types of hunting that we've done in the past. But first, just want to remind you guys that we can save you money if you use our promo codes. And when you use those promo codes, we really appreciate it. It helps us out, helps our partners out, and it helps you out. It's kind of a win-win for everybody. So if you want to save 10% off of Exodus Trail cameras, you can use the promo code THP10. If you want to save 20% off of Trophy Ridge accessories, you can use the code THP20. If you have any interest in new calls, we can save you 10% off of Woodhaven calls if you use the code THP2018. And finally, if you want to save 20% on the OnX Hunt app, you can use the code THP. Also, be sure to go over and check out our YouTube channel. We've got deer tour videos going up. Also, I know there's probably been some question, are we going to have elk hunting videos? Yes, we are. We're just backcountry hunting, so it's not like our typical setup where we're able to just edit, post things as it goes. So we'll have the videos for sure, but think these podcasts are cool just to keep you guys up to date. This is the second to last podcast in this series from our first hunt, and the next one is going to be a full-on recap of the hunt, so you can be looking forward to that one next. So with that said, let's get to talking elk on the mountain.
I mean, I'll keep rationing too in that way.
Yeah, same like, here. I've got this dinner, another dinner, breakfast scramble, two full day bags plus a little extra. I mean, I could scratch out 3 days for sure.
I've managed to like for sure have pretty much a full on like fourth or another day bag, which I didn't have when Zach was leaving.
Oh, gotcha.
I've just like rationed down to that.
Uh-huh.
And what the couple bars or whatever.
Yeah, I got an extra ramen now.
I'll be able to get it.
Do you guys like the sounds of Wesley eating?
I'm a hungry boy.
What was today?
Today was awesome. Starting fact was that it didn't rain, so that made it really awesome.
Yeah, weather was good.
Woke up, Wes heard a bull bugling, and then took us a while. Kind of worked around whole hillside that we expected to find some elk, and
ow, dang. I was gonna say you're boiling that steam.
Ouch.
And Zach just burned his hand.
Yep.
So we took a little break and then we dropped an elevation, and that's kind of been the key, you know. It seems like we've been finding elk a little bit lower than our last location.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, the blowdown,
mm-hmm.
vegetation, the terrain, these micro features in the terrain,
mm-hmm.
you know, like these micro benches. They don't necessarily show up tremendously on Onyx, but they're there, and those elk are bedding in it. It's tough to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing that none of us has taken it. I mean, heavy, hard fall. Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, taking some tumbles, no doubt.
Well, yeah.
Wes did the rescue of all rescues today, because I'm pretty sure his nose almost, he was like a plane doing the touch and go. Like, his nose just about touched the ground. No knee, came up, turns around, knee didn't touch. He didn't even plant a hand. It was like, you like swan dive, but then like, had some yoga move out of it.
I am athletic like a gazelle, and I have the coordination of a giraffe.
Okay? Yeah. And I took one.
Zach took one.
Mm-hmm. Pretty
Rudolph
good one.
Took a. That, to, it was to a be straight fair, face plant. To be fair, that was like pretty much sabotage, like tank trap. Yeah. You know, I mean,
it was like a.
It wasn't like, oh, I tripped over a stick. You right. stepped in this like hole that wasn't seen.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a creek that went under this log, and when I stepped over the log, my foot went straight down into the water, like just like a marshy type feel to it. And I just straight up, I kept the bow up, but I fell on my right hand. Fell down in my face, mm-mm. and then I just took it right in the face. My face hit right into the sticks of the next tree that I fell into. But yeah, I mean, it's all part of the game. Nobody got hurt too bad, so it's all good.
Yeah. Ted, what was your take on the day?
It was a scream fest, I'd say. It was a lot of bugling. Yeah. And
I can't wait till we actually get, know, into, a
get into a scream fest.
It seemed like one.
Yeah.
The day went by real fast, I'd say.
Yeah.
And it was really fun, really close a couple times.
Interesting thing is, like, we didn't cover a ton of ground today.
No,
we ended up, like, what, 400 yards from where we
camped?
500 yards from where we were last night?
Yeah.
I think one of the things that, you know, has kind of been coming in, just really making sense on this trip is, like, a couple hundred feet in elevation, especially in this dense cover with a little bit of wind, can really make all the difference. And, like, you know, you can be off just a hair. And, like, this morning we took off and we were probably at about a... Well, we were working about a 10,200 elevation.
Yeah, across the face there.
And
yeah.
We went that whole way and we were just never quite in the fresh sign. It was, like, never quite there.
And we were wondering why
right.
there was none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on the way up, this 210-2, we were seeing sign.
Right, through that.
Through that.
98 to 10.
Yep. So then on the way, we kind of aired out because we got the rain last night. We aired it out, took a little break, ate lunch, got all fired back up. And we went down in elevation, and pretty quickly we were on one. And we had a really good encounter with the bull. Yeah, that was the one that I thought for sure we had, because we got him located, we moved in on him, and we moved again, and we moved again. We were in a perfect spot. He bugled close, was raking. He was just out of sight, and then the wind was up today, just mm-hmm. to paint a little
the
bit of a picture.
Higher winds, yeah.
The wind was up, and, you know, just in this terrain, it can just switch just enough to, I mean, he definitely didn't see either Ted or I or you guys back there calling.
No.
Definitely didn't see us. It was just a funky wind day, and he kind of trotted off. And
I think, I mean, that if he was raking and then turned to trot,
mm-hmm. yeah,
he did a roundup bugle to his cows. That's that last bugle that we heard, and then he just pushed them out of that basin.
Something that really stuck out to me today was, like, it reminded me a lot of turkey hunting was. It seems like during the middle of the day when you're turkey hunting, if you work back through where they're roosted at or something, a lot of times they'll be somewhere around there. And, like, when we found that elevation line, it's like everything's just, like, right through this one
through that band.
Band, and there's, like, the dead bulls up there. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's just right through this whatever.
Interesting, whatever. Yeah, you brought that up. The first thing this morning, yesterday when we climbed up here, when I crested over the top, I was like, man, I smell something dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
We all did.
Yeah, I was like, having that, what is that? The wind was kind of crossy, going back and forth. And this morning, we had a constant wind right in our face. And it was like, that is rotten. Mm-hmm. And sad deal, we walked up and there's a dead 5-point bull that's been there for, I don't know, it's tough to say with, like, decomposition with the way the weather's been. But I would say in the last... I mean, during season, and it looked to us like there was a perfect broadhead mark right
behind the shoulder.
Right behind the shoulder.
Ten ring.
So, yeah, sad deal. You know, it's like, I feel for the, if if a guy shot that bull, like, man, it sucks. Hate seeing that animal go to waste. I was like there for a second, kind of just moment of silence, like halfway tears, like, man, this dang life, like, is gone for nothing. And yeah, it's sad. I think the biggest thing, a lot of people don't realize, like, how much respect or how much love we have for the animals that we're hunting. Yeah,
it's just like, well, and surely if somebody, like, shot that thing and lost it, like, they're like feeling rough right now, you know. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you think about that aspect of it too, and we don't really know what happened. It's hard to say exactly what happened, but, you know, it sure looked like it had been shot and just lost. But, you know, it wasn't an uplifting start to the day by any means.
I mean I feel bad for the elk, and I feel bad for the dude or woman. Because, like, first thing I think of when I find that is, okay, what can I salvage out of this? And it's not meat, you know what I mean? So then I think, okay, well, is it frowned upon or not frowned upon to just chop the head off in that situation and take it out? Because I would almost say that it's disrespectful to leave it up here in some ways. Yeah, it's going to go back into the earth, this, that, and the other. But to me, I was like, man, I don't know. Thoughts?
I don't know. Sometimes...
Both ways.
We're definitely getting deep here. Like, sometimes I feel like it's just like, leave it where it is, you know? Yeah, like, right. Just leave it the way it was. And, I mean... Yeah, just have the moment for it and just kind of leave it be. You know, it's like
the thing let about
nature
it,
take its course.
Maybe that guy's back up here next year and he's gonna spend some time, and that could be that closure or connection to it.
I'd say it's just a. I'd say probably there's a lot of different opinions on it, but I don't know. I think if I had to say, like, what we did, just, you know.
I wasn't about to say that I was going to chop the head off.
No, I know you're not.
That thing stinks to high hell, but.
I gagged and just pretty much puked in my mouth and swallowed it back down. It was, yeah.
But I think moving forward, one of the interesting things that, like, about this morning, and we've kind of touched on, but, you know, we moved through, and that upper stuff, that 10-2-ish, that's really open, and there's, like, a lot more live trees, and the vegetation on the ground is just way more open. Then as soon as you start to hit, like, a creek, you know, it thickens up, maybe a few more blowdowns, but then what really you start to see that change is when you, like, at least in this location,
Almost like getting off on that, like, there's that transition of, like, the steep, steep face from the upper part of the mountain.
Yeah. And then you're down on the actual flat. And when you hit that, then I could see where, like, most people would avoid it. But the fact that we're going right through the middle of it, I think, is putting us right in the game. And it sucks. Like, it's hard walking.
It's,
like,
terrible walking.
Yeah, you can fall on your face and cut your nose up. Like, I did, but it's just, like, that is where they are, and that is where they want to be. It's like, as soon as we hit that, it's just like there's droppings. You can smell the elk. There's fresh tracks. There's trails going every direction. And then every time we've hit that stuff where it's, like, really, really good, a lot of blowdowns, every time we've hit an elk. I mean, we hit one and struck one. Is that what you guys say? You guys say strike one?
No, got them going. Got them bugling.
Yeah. Got one going. Sounded off.
Sounded off, yeah.
You know, I think the coolest thing is, like, we made the adjustment. Like, okay, we realized this, we made the shift. Now we can kind of, like, really focus our efforts going forward. Like, okay, here's the zone. And that, I would say that differs than most trips that I've made. It seems like they've been all, like, more honestly, like, been all over. They've been in the bottoms, they've been on the tops, they've been in the middle of the mountain. And I don't know if it's just like pressure or weather. I think that, you know, we've had pretty consistently warm, sunny days leading up to the last 2 days. So like they've been living in that thicker, cooler shaded temp stuff. Yeah.
And that's the other thing about hitting those deadfalls. Like you hit the deadfalls and then you hit, there's still the big live trees in it. And that's when it's like really good. It feels like there's still big live trees and there's downed, a lot of downed big trees too. But that's when it's like, it's dark in there. It's like,
well, look thick. Looking on Onyx, you can literally like on the satellite side of it, you can look and it's just like dark, shaded, shaded, dark, dark. That's been the concentration. If there's a little bench or any little topography in there is where those elk are hanging out.
Yeah. Yep.
Any predictions on how many bugles we hear tonight?
Tonight?
Hopefully. Bugles or bulls?
No, just bugles.
Mm. Six.
Seven.
I'm gonna stay low with like two or three.
You know, I was thinking the same. It's like we're in a decent spot to hear them, but we're also in a bad spot to hear them because we're like kind of falls off both sides here.
Yeah, but I think we're gonna get a fired up bull. Tonight? I think he's going to bugle like four times, and then there's going to be a distant two.
We got the moon's half moon. It's clear. I would imagine that they will be pretty decently active tonight.
Imagine they're fired up. They've been stoved up for the last two nights, if you think about it.
It's colder tonight, too. Yeah. Like, this is the coldest night it's been.
One other thing that I think is interesting that maybe we haven't painted a great picture as far as podcasts. I know we've been talking about it a lot amongst ourselves and in the videos, but, you know, it's been raining the last two nights. It starts raining like right at prime time, so we haven't got to hunt the prime time. And it seems like when that weather, it's not changing the overall temperature dramatically, but it's just changing the feel of the woods. Like, it's wet, it's a little bit damp, it's a little chilly down the bottoms. You know, even tonight like has a little bit different of a crispness to it. I think it just kind of set things. You know, I'm not saying that, like, it's spurred the rut, but it makes them feel it, I think, a little bit. You know, it gets them going a little bit, and I would say we saw some results of that today just because we had more action. Because the other thing then that happened later this afternoon, we had that bull bust, winded us. We just moved really not even that far, like, within like,
500-600 yards.
Yeah, within 30 minutes easy of us like taking our break after we bumped that bull, we were on another one.
Yeah.
And then it was a whole nother encounter. Almost had a shot, was at full draw at a bull that was probably 40 to 35 yards and just didn't quite pull it off. But, you know, We're getting better and more encounters. We're getting more bulls bugling, and that's encouraging for the next few days because it's like, man, to me, it's like it might just be starting to like really crank.
Yeah. Yeah. So just for you guys listening, this is the 7th of September here in Colorado. Huh. So just to kind of, I mean, this is the first full week of season, and. What was your favorite part of the night? I think to quote Ted.
Yeah. So that second bull was at 35 or whatever, you know. He's like about to step into a lane and he just kind of hung up and was looking. We're not sure. He saw something and he turned and worked off, and so I let down or whatever. And it's like, yeah, dang, you know, turned to Ted. He's just like, there's a few words that we'll leave out of it, but he goes, "Dang it, that was a nice one too." It was like super fired up, and it was just so funny. It was so fun. It's just fun, you know. It's just, you know, we all feel that, like, that frustration, but that, you know, we were just talking about, you know, in general, it's just like there's that frustration, but it just gives us that drive to like, hey, we're doing it again tomorrow. It's
right.
Like, and we are just waiting for tomorrow to keep going after them.
We've talked about this in videos in years past. This is literally something that anyone with some drive and desire, some physical ability, can go purchase a tag at a local sporting goods store.
Literally, just walk right in and buy it. It's
hunter education card, hunter safety card. Come to Colorado, and you can go hunting in a lot of places with a lot of crazy wild terrain, a lot of, I don't know. It's one adventure that, I mean, I would suggest anyone that's like thinks that they might want to go do it. And probably your perspective is like, I think the funnest part, like hearing you say, is like, I was born for this. It's like, this is literally what, you know, backpacking, carrying camp on your back.
Backpack hunting is like, yeah, I feel like I've backpacked, I've canoed and back, you know, stayed in the boundary water, stuff like that. But it's like to actually morph those two things that I like into hunting is like, man, this is literally what I've always dreamed of. And I think, you know, we talked about it some on the last podcast, but it's like just having the confidence and just like being with buddies that and to give you that, like, I don't know, it is a bit of a sense of comfort, I think, if you're with some buddies
and for sure
you guys just go out and, like, you know, it may not be like always the most comfortable thing, but just remembering that you get to wake up and go hunting again tomorrow and you're right here, there's no hiking it. Like, we literally wake up, we pack our stuff up, we kind of drink some coffee, kind of whatever, and it's like hit the bugle and we're off, and that's so cool.
Dude,
so awesome.
Today at one point, all four of us were standing there, heard the bull bugle, no one said anything or pointed, and all four of us at the exact same time started moving in the way that we knew we were supposed to move. And when that, I was at the, like, the very end of it, and so, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, let's go, like, I was like, let's go, like, we got the squad and we are rolling heads, right? No, I was jacked up at that moment, and I was just like, oh, it's happening, it is happening.
He did turn, and he's just like, oh my god.
Talking about, like, I don't know, is, obviously, I've never turkey hunted.
No, like I got. You guys. Well, I got. I'm about to say. I'm about to say some stuff. So, like,
I'm about to say some stuff.
So, like, to me, I have decided that, like, I love all hunting equally, right? But yeah. I think what is so special about this is you get every aspect of hunting plus the camping and the backpacking and the fact that you're out here living, and like, it just brings this whole different element that you will, like, I shouldn't say you'll never get. Like, you can definitely do it with whitetail and turkey if you live in mostly if you live in close to the Appalachian Mountains would be about the best place to do it, but, or I guess maybe Arkansas, parts of Arkansas, you could probably do some turkey hunting or whatever where you're backpacking. But, like, you know, adding that backpacking element to me is like what separates elk hunting, making it backcountry hunting, I guess, is like, that's what separates elk hunting from deer and turkey. And I think that's the part that I've always wanted in it, and it's also the part that's going to keep me coming back forever, because it's
awesome.
Like, yeah, it's the thing that I can't get with deer and turkey very easily.
I think to agree with you and say that, like, it's kind of like, you know, that feeling like when you were playing sports in high school, like, I got my boys and we're headed out for Friday Night Lights or the basketball court or whatever it is. Doesn't matter what's going on. They got my back. We're all in it together. Like, that feeling of camaraderie. And when crap hits the fan, when it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, you got your boys.
Mm-hmm.
You're all there for one reason. And, like, to me, there is no other thing like that feeling than being in the elk woods.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's like
100%.
So much intensity and, like, shared raw emotion that I personally don't feel that in any other hunting situations that I've been.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it's so funny, too, because, like, every morning I wake up, I'm just like, can't wait to hang out with those guys. It's like, I haven't even seen another human for days. And it's just like, oh, sweet. Like, I hear, like, people wrestling around. It's like, I better get up so we can hang out. It's so goofy. But it's true. Like, it's so true. It's like, can't wait to just, like, talk about
hunting. I think the funnest part about this style of hunting, like, when it's intense, we're intense. And when it's relaxed, it's like stress-free, like just taking it all in, just every aspect.
About whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I don't know. It's definitely my favorite time. Like September is a special, special time for me.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty. Yeah, it's been. This has been. Yeah, just incredible, really. I can't, and you know, you got so many other things, like the views. I mean, we saw a porcupine today, we saw a huge mule deer buck today, like, yeah. You know, there's other, so many other things too that like you wouldn't get to see otherwise if you weren't, you know, just the peacefulness of being out here on the mountain, not hearing a road, not hearing whatever, the neighbors listening to music, like whatever. It's just right. Like you're out here just surviving. Yeah. In the hunting. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Ted, you got any final closing thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm loving it. I am. You guys keep asking me if I'm having fun, and I'm like, yeah, I'm having a blast.
I don't,
me and Zach are like polar opposite, I feel like, personality, like what comes out, but I'm having a blast.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, I remember my first out-of-state elk hunt, I was 16 years old with my dad. It was like a drop camp outfitter thing in northern Idaho. And it wasn't even remotely like this, but it was really like, holy cow, it's like a different world.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't imagine, I mean, I went backpacking for mule deer when I was 19, and it was like, eye-opening of like what the world is. So having you up here, I can just imagine. I was sitting there earlier today thinking back, like, and I remember specifically when I was working at this sporting goods store, one of the guys, like during college, he goes like, man, like this is the time of your life, like age-wise, you don't have a mortgage, like pre-family, you're just soaking it all in. And I think it's pretty cool that you're here, yeah. Like being a part of this. It's pretty awesome.
Yep.
And I will say, there's not many 19-year-olds that can come trek through the mountains and crush it like this and have the attitude that you do and like get the shots you do. And it's just, it's really admirable. Like,
yeah. And for the people that don't like, haven't seen the videos, you probably haven't seen the videos yet, like Ted is just like rocking footage out. It's so sweet. Like, uh-huh. Like right over the shoulder every time we've had an encounter. It's like, when it does happen, like he's got, well, regardless at this point, plenty of cool footage.
Oh,
like,
I'm
it's
coming to
be
tackle
awesome.
Both you guys when you kill one. Oh, it's going down.
It's going to be
dog pile in the blowdown.
Yeah. The thing, see, the one thing that I was going to say, like, you're like, you keep asking if you're having fun. The reason I keep asking you is because I know you're having fun. It's awesome.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish choking down the rest. Not choking down, like scarfing down my food. Yeah. I'm starving right now.
Yeah, me as well. Got it right, like right at the perfect temperature. Got some rice and chicken with a little extra mashed potatoes sprinkled
mashed
on
taters.
Top. It's going to be good.
I think we need to make some sort of adapter to go onto a jet boil with like tubing that dries out the inside of your boots.
Trust me, I've schemed. Gosh. I've schemed. Backcountry boot dryer.
If anybody's got any...
Yeah, and if there is one out there and you're listening to this, we will take sponsorship right now.
We'll just use it.
I'm not scared to pimp myself out.
All right, good night, guys.
Good night.